From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Today, as Game Week 6 awaits, we big news from Everton. No Hammers, but elsewhere, is it time for Hammers? Meanwhile, there's must-have defenders, but not Mustafi defender, and the most controversial captain call of all. It's all coming up in the official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Hello, FPL manager. I'm James Richardson. Thanks for joining us for the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. We're looking ahead to Game Week 6. We're in the company of stats guru, Duncan Alexander of Optijo. Hello.
Hello, James.
Hello. From the FPL family, Lee Bonfield.
Hello, James.
Hello. And author and football journalist, Tom Williams.
Hello, James.
Hello to you. Tom, Lee, you both had good weeks. Two words for you. Kane, captain. Woof.
Yeah, that was the game changer. Both Lee and I deployed our wild cards, and so we're consequently now both basking in the afterglow of a successful wild card deployment.
I feel like I've looked at my team a number of times, Tom, this week. I don't know about you, but that sort of sense of sort of smugness over the week is just accelerated as we get towards game week six.
It's the opposite of having a bad game week, isn't it? When you don't even bother opening the app until you have to pick your team for the following week.
I've constantly
just find myself constantly checking. Oh, hi, Duncan. Sorry.
Duncan, you love numbers. How many points did Tom and Lee get?
Lee got a healthy 84. Tom got a middling 78.
Right.
I got I was in there somewhere, 45. 45 is a pretty cool number, though, I think.
Right. Well, you might have the last laugh, though, Duncan, because you've got your wild card still. Mm. You might use it soon, and you might need to, because breaking news, just as we stepped in to put this podcast together, is that only one of the most valuable players in FPL, James Rodriguez, is out of this weekend's clash for Everton. Crikey. What information have you got on it, Tom? Do you know?
So Carlo Ancelotti has just announced in his press conference, I think, that James Rodriguez is out of the game against Southampton. He injured himself in a challenge with Virgil van Dijk in the early stages of the Merseyside derby.
Wow.
So Van Dijk claiming a bit of revenge from beyond the grave there. No details beyond that on the nature of the injury or the gravity of it, but he is out of this weekend's game at the very least.
Well, that's huge, isn't it? That's huge. And for a lot of managers who've already made their transfers this week, that could be, you know, scared perhaps by price rises among the Spurs players, that kind of thing.
249,000 transfers in, by the way. I just looked it up. Just as
James Rodriguez,
James. Almost a quarter of a million managers bringing him in this week. So, yeah, that's a blow.
Sucks to be those guys.
Mm. One of the reasons, perhaps, was that Richarlison from that same derby being out because of his red card meant that Rodriguez was probably going to be doing any spot kicking for Everton if they were awarded any penalties. But, yeah, Rodriguez now out of the picture.
When you think of what Van Dijk been out for the season and Thiago out for a bit, surely one of the most destructively pivotal games in FPL history, that match.
Possibly so. Possibly so.
Seismic FPL game, that one.
Well, the other ramifications, the key incident, Pickford's van removal, which saw Van Dijk ruled out for the...
James, you can't make jokes about the best Liverpool player getting injured like that.
There's nothing funny about it. But the irony was that midweek, of course, Liverpool then went and got a clean sheet with a fantastic performance from Fabinho. There have been a lot of managers who have been saying, well, it's time to clear out our Liverpool defensive assets. It's all over. The party's done. But maybe there's going to be a reset from Klopp, and we're going to see the likes of Robertson and a fixture this weekend, for example, at home to Sheffield United. That maybe the likes of Robertson, Trent, they could be good options still.
Well, also, James Milner came in midfield in midweek, and his kind of defensive acumen allowed Robertson to get forward quite well. So I think if he continues in midfield, which he might do a little bit if Fabinho drops back, then expect Robertson to create more chances than maybe he has been.
Are we all hanging on to our Liverpool assets if we have them?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I'll be keeping Robertson. I got him in on my wild card. I'm not panicking too much. Actually, if you look at the four games that Fabinho has played at centre half for Liverpool when Klopp's put him there, clean sheets in all of them. So, you know, yes, we are. We're obviously sad to see Virgil out for the season, but not panicking, because I think we've got the cover there with Fabinho.
Good. Well, much to discuss as ever on the show as we build up to game week 6. Remember, if you'd like to join our mini league, the code is SMXYTY. Next up, let's get on to this weekend's fixtures. All right then, game week 6. Now, deadlines have changed this season, of course, for your teams. It's now 90 minutes before the first match of the round, which means we've got a 6:30 Friday evening UK time deadline this week. 90 minutes before Aston Villa are at home to Leeds. Other fixtures this weekend, well, on Saturday, Man United-Chelsea is huge. West Ham-Man City could be pretty productive as well. There's Fulham Palace and Liverpool against Sheffield United. Sunday, Saints-Everton, Wolves-Newcastle and Arsenal-Leicester. And Monday, two games, Brighton-West Brom and Burnley-Spurs. Lee, where are you going to pick up your points?
Yeah, I'm going to go for Aston Villa versus Leeds, actually. And could be quite an open, an attacking game. We've seen Leeds really take it to the opposition in that 4-1-4-1 formation a couple of times this season, not least at Anfield on the opening day. And I can't help but feel that that might play into the hands of Aston Villa. And whether we get, you know, we're not sure we're going to get 7 goals from Villa again this season, I don't think. But I think if Leeds play that way, certainly the likes of Grealish and Barkley and McGinn will profit. Interestingly, Leeds have conceded the most amount of shots in the box so far this season with 53. And Grealish, over the last 4 game weeks, is the player that's had the most touches in the box of any player. So
I thought Salah had had more touches, but he's still top two.
I think Salah's right up there. Yeah, I think you might be right. Could be second, but Grealish is right up there for most touches in the box. So you've got a player that's going to get in and around the box with the touches against a team that's going to let him get a shot away. So
right.
I think he is the go-to player from an Aston Villa perspective.
Even though he blanked last time out, Grealish.
Yeah, I know he blanked, but I mean, listen, he's looked absolutely the player to go to, in my opinion. He's going to take the penalties as well for Aston Villa. He's their talisman. Everything seems to go through him. No player's created more chances than him in the last 4 games either. So not only is there goal threat, but there's creativity as well. So, of course, you can look at McGinn if you want to save a bit of money. You can have a look elsewhere at Barkley, but I think Grealish is worth the money.
Who's got Grealish in their side?
I've got Grealish. Brought him in when I did the wild card. And yes, he blanked against Leicester, but having watched the game, he absolutely ran the show. He could have had a couple of assists. So dangerous. And the way that Villa are using him this season as well, coming in off that left-hand side, that there are always plenty of bodies behind him in midfield, so he doesn't have to worry too much about defending. I think he's an even more valuable attacking asset this season. I'd expect him to pick up points against Leeds.
Interestingly, no Phillips either, injured for Leeds this weekend. So that's going to vacate, you'd think, some of the spaces that Grealish likes to operate in. So, yeah, even more reason to go with the England man.
The other player that I think's come in and done well is obviously Ross Barkley. And I think the fact that he's there means that, I mean, last season, if you played Villa, you knew just concentrate on Jack Grealish and you were probably safe. But now, you know, Barkley offers a similar threat. He's scored in both his games so far. No Villa player scored in the first 3 top flight games since Dion Dublin back in the 1990s. So, yeah, I think Villa just look a much more dangerous prospect, as shown by the league table.
How many Villa players have you got, Duncan?
None right now. So,
kind of wild card, I think.
That wild card button's tempting, Duncan, isn't it?
It is pretty tempting, and I'm pretty sure by the end of this podcast, I will have mashed the keypad. So yeah,
right. Well, there is that worry that this golden start can't continue forever. Tom, your fixture choice this week is Liverpool against Sheffield United. Eyeing up a clean sheet there, perhaps, for the home side.
Yeah, I mean, Liverpool have struggled for clean sheets domestically this season. Only one so far, but you can't ask for more shot-shy opposition currently than Sheffield United. They've only scored 2 goals all season, who are without a win, who haven't won away from home since February. I tend to think, I know we're going to talk about cheap defenders at greater length later in the podcast, but I'm steering away from picking expensive defenders because clean sheets across the board have dropped so much. But I think there's potential for a Liverpool clean sheet here. And on that note, Joe Gomez might be worth having a look at. 5.4 million, only owned by 2.6% of FPL managers, so big differential potential. Should get a decent run in the team now that Virgil van Dijk is on the sidelines. Obviously, with Liverpool, you always look at the forwards. It was interesting to note that Salah, Firmino and Mane were all taken off with half an hour to play against Ajax in the Champions League in midweek, so obviously being rested for the weekend.
Although Mane was then sporting an ice pack, and Klopp afterwards was explaining that Sadio had had a bit of a problem there, so there's a potential worry for Mane owners.
Potential worry, not so much a worry that if I owned Mane, I'd be thinking of replacing him. But yeah, I've got Mo Salah. I've had him since the start of the season. He's my captain, right. And I can see Liverpool romping to victory quite comfortably in this one.
Duncan, tell us about Man United against Chelsea, a Chelsea side that's now keeping clean sheets, and a Man United side where Rashford and Fernandes are now picking up points.
Yes, well, you say keeping clean sheets. They had a 0-0 in the Champions League. I mean, that is technically a clean sheet, but it remains to be seen whether that's the start of a new kind of more cautious Frank Lampard approach to games, or whether it will continue. I mean, Chelsea away from home, they've let in 42 away goals, which is more than any other Premier League team. So a trip to Old Trafford against a buoyant Manchester United after their midweek heroics looks tricky. But at the same time, the wealth of talent Chelsea have got makes this potentially an absolute goal fest yet again. I mean, we could see, you know, for a game between two such established teams, we could see a few debuts or a few players used in this game where, you know, they have pretty low ownership. So you've got people like Hakim Ziyech, who's only owned by 1% of people at the moment. Pulisic, who obviously is coming back now, still only about 3% of ownership. Edison Cavani could make his debut. Remains to be seen whether he'll go the kind of Falcao route or the Zlatan Ibrahimovic route in terms of production. But if he hits the ground running and you get him now, that's like you could make a big difference.
Right. What about Timo Werner, who did finally hit the score sheet last weekend? 16 points for him. He'd been sold by 500,000 managers prior to that. Did any of you guys have him in? Have you considered bringing him in for Chelsea?
I had him in for game week one and then promptly bombed him out, and so didn't pick up any of the points that he won last weekend. I think the fact he's now playing through the middle is a good sign for any FPL managers who own him. The fact that Ziyech is now fit, that Pulisic is starting games again, that Havertz is now a little bit more settled, I think this all augurs well for Werner. And we're starting to see the team that Frank Lampard will have been intending to set out since all these players arrived, even if results haven't perhaps followed yet. I can't really afford to bring in Werner, given that I've got Harry Kane there and there isn't really any money available for another big name striker. But I can see him scoring a lot of points this season. And he's still at quite an advantageous price.
The only counter to that is obviously Axel Tuanzebe came in for United in midweek and shackled Kylian Mbappe. So if he can do that, I suspect he can shackle anybody. So, you know, obviously he's had a lot of injury problems, and if he can stay fit, I think he is going to be a massive boost for United, but also a really good option for FPL managers.
All right, one that I imagine we'll be touching on again when we talk about must-have defenders in our Wednesday tweets section. Crikey. Can we have a quick shout out, unless Lee, you wanted to pitch in on the game at Old Trafford. But barring that, let's have a quick mention for Man City West Ham. Man City, who won all 9 games against West Ham under Pep Guardiola. The last two of them, they put 4 goals past the Hammers and then 5 goals past them. And we hear that Kevin De Bruyne is going to be back available for this one. You've got Aguero as an option these days as well. Raheem Sterling has been in form, scoring Man City's goals in their previous 2 games. Phil Foden, starting every match so far, and he's actually the second highest FPL point scorer for City at a bargain 6.6 million. Which City assets have you got? What have you done with De Bruyne? What are your thoughts about this game? Or are you thinking it could be another of those West Ham upsets?
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? I noticed this fixture at the beginning of last season, I think it was game week one, and Sterling got a hat-trick, didn't he? So if you had him for that game, then you got your season off to absolutely the right start. And I think if I was going to go into Manchester City, because I don't have any Man City right now, but you're right, Pep is just starting to get his first 11 back with Aguero, who will make a big difference up front there. And obviously Kevin De Bruyne. I think if I was going to go there, I still would go for Kevin De Bruyne, simply the amount of routes into points for him. But yeah, shout out to Aguero. It's difficult to have Aguero and Kane in your team. I think, as Tom alluded to with Werner, difficult to have those two in and taking up, you know, almost 21, 22 million of your budget. So it would still be the Belgian for me in the middle.
Okay, and Kane up top instead of Aguero. Duncan, just on the subject of City, of course, they're now into full Champions League mode. And you're expecting that to start really playing havoc with what we've become accustomed to in terms of hierarchies in these opening rounds.
I just think because of how squashed the football calendar is this season. You know, we've got Champions League fixes this week and then the next 2 weeks, and then an international break where they've squeezed even more international games in, plus league football all the time. There's going to be more injuries. And that's partly why I've kind of saved my wild card. I'm sort of thinking post-international break in a few weeks might be a good time to,
then.
To reshape.
But in the meantime, are you looking to avoid the big price players because of this, the Champions League clubs?
Well, I've got Salah and I've got Trent. But yeah, I mean, not apart from that, I haven't had De Bruyne all season. The only City player I've got is Phil Foden, who sadly sat on my bench last weekend and cost me 6 points. But I think Foden's actually a good shout in the sense that he's pretty kind of robust. And he seems to have the kind of, Pep seems to trust him now in most games. So I think he's going to get a lot of game time.
All right. Well, since we started taking a slightly more long-term view on things, let's check on the prospects beyond this weekend in the long view. Each week, listener, we use the Premier League's fixture difficulty ranking to take a look at who has the most favourable run coming up. You can find the FDR, as we like to call it, over at PremierLeague.com. It's got nice colours and it's great. Looking down it, Spurs, who've done pretty well so far, have got three intriguing fixtures coming up. Away at Burnley, home to Brighton, and away at West Brom. Tom, I didn't have any Spurs players last week, I know. Should I be correcting that? By how many and who should I get?
I think if you are going to bring in Spurs players, the time to do it is now, because after those three pretty juicy fixtures you mentioned, they've got three quite tricky ones: home to Man City, away at Chelsea, and at home to Arsenal. I've got Harry Kane. I don't have Son Heung-min. I generally try and avoid doubling up on players from the same team if I can avoid it, just in case the team has an off day and neither player returns any points. But Son's absence does make me feel slightly anxious. I've got Raheem Sterling as my second big ticket midfielder alongside Mo Salah. But as we were saying, there is that risk of rotation with City. So hopefully I'm not going to rue that. But yeah, I mean, I think you need to have at least one of Son and Kane. And given those three very winnable games they've got coming up and the way they've been playing, the way they've been scoring goals, there is an argument for having both of them.
Right. Never perhaps been a better argument for doubling up. Son, by the way, was transferred in by 2 million managers last week. So you really can't afford to miss out on those points. Otherwise, everybody else is going to be roaring away with it. Lee, what you got?
Well, I've got Kane and Son. I bought them both in on the wild card. And I guess I have Pep to thank a little bit for that, because he was kind of unusually clear in his press conference about Kevin De Bruyne's, he's going to not play last game week. So on that basis, I took him out and bought Son in. So I was pretty happy with that. I was always going to bring Kane in, though. Kane has looked a completely different beast this season. He's got the highest number of big chances created so far this season. He's top five for shots in the box. He's enjoying a chance every 17.8 minutes, which is frankly incredible stats. So not only is he keeping up the goal threat, but his creativity, his underlying stats and assist potential is through the roof at the moment. And the understanding with Son and with Bale coming into the team as well, that front three for Spurs looks pretty frightening, I have to say.
Mm. And Burnley away, how difficult a fixture will that prove?
Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Because Burnley actually, despite some of the injuries they've had and some of the results that they've not had in the Premier League so far, they've conceded the least amount of big chances in the league so far. So it's not going to be easy for Spurs. Although, you know, I think I could have sat here last week and said that West Ham have actually posted some reasonable numbers defensively as well this season. And Son and Kane tore them apart, didn't they? So, on paper, it looks really good. And I think my captaincy is likely to go to one of the two Spurs boys as well.
I see. Another team who, in the slightly shorter long term, if you'll allow that, have appetising fixtures are Wolves, because the next two are both at home and they're against Newcastle, who allow, 17 shots a game so far on average, and then Crystal Palace, who are slightly less generous, but still. Wolves, now, attacking-wise, they're not posting incredible numbers. Jimenez got a goal last Monday against Leeds, but it was kind of a fortunate one. At the back, though, is that where the real points are to be made for Wolves, with the likes of Sice and this new chap, Max Kilman?
Yeah, I mean, Sice is currently the top scoring defender. He only costs 5.2 million which is a decent price for the sort of returns you're going to get. Kilman was voted man of the match in that game against Leeds and performed very impressively. The only issue with him is that Marcel is now fit again. And I suspect if he comes back into the team, it will be in Kilman's place. Kilman was, I think, 4 million at the start of the season. He's gone up a little bit since then. That would be my only concern about him, whether he's going to hang on to his place. But yeah, Wolves very solid defensively, clean sheets in each of their last two fixtures. And as you say, because they don't score that many goals, the value with Wolves players does often tend to be at the other end of the pitch. And yeah, Newcastle and Palace at home, away to Leicester, then home to Southampton. So some decent home fixtures for them coming up.
Kilman with 11 points last weekend. He's 4.1 at the moment. Same price as Mitchell at Crystal Palace, who we may need to find a replacement for soon, with Patrick van Aanholt making his way back. Duncan?
Yeah, I was just going to say, with Wolves, there's a thing in FPL where kind of like a delayed reaction a lot of the time. So when a player does well the previous season, you find it quite hard to accept that they're maybe not doing the same role or having the same influence. And I think you look at Adama Traore, you know, he's only got 9 points this season, but he's still owned by 11% of people. And I think most players with that sort of return wouldn't be owned by that many people. It's just people kind of, they're either hoping that he's going to get back to the form of last season, which he may well do, but
it's,
you know,
brand loyalty.
Well, exactly. I mean, and also maybe they just enjoy olive oil on arms. So
who doesn't?
And which of us doesn't?
True.
Next up, let's move on to our midweek Twitter question, which was, who are your must-have players at the back? This week we asked you, with so many unpredictable scorelines, who are your must-have players at the back, FPL managers? Many thanks to everyone who got in touch using the hashtag FPLpod. Chris says Twanzebe at this price, 4.5 million. He's worth keeping in mind if he can hold down that centre-half spot. He looked great against Paris Saint-Germain, as we mentioned, Tom. What are the prospects?
I think it's a big if. If he is going to play regularly, and as we saw against PSG, you know, he can be a really useful player. I think if Twanzebe gets into the team and is being picked regularly, then absolutely. But I'd hold fire on that one for now.
Okay. Also, they are about to face a team containing the likes of Havertz and Werner, etc. Elliot says, you can't rely on defenders for clean sheets anymore, so you may as well get purely wing-backs. Have you guys just gone for wing-backs with your five defenders?
I feel like Elliot has looked into my head and read my thoughts. With
poor
that.
Elliot.
Right.
He's right.
He is completely right. I've got four. When I deployed my wildcard last week, I brought in the four most attacking fullbacks I could afford, and Roman Saiz. I just think because there are so few clean sheets, spending big on defenders makes less sense than in previous seasons.
On that point, four teams are yet to keep a clean sheet in the Premier League this season: Sheffield United, Spurs, Fulham and Manchester United. And only two teams have kept more than two, Wolves and Villa. So if you're looking for tight defence options, probably Wolves, as we mentioned, are the best option. But yeah, other than that, go for I'm loath to say it, but do what Tom Williams did and go for creativity.
Right.
If in doubt, it's always a great advice to follow, Duncan.
Right. Sharma says, Saiz, Cash and Robertson are no-brainer picks for me, and they are pivotal standing blocks on my FPL team. Chris, the ones that are going to produce my best attacking returns consistently at the moment are Saiz, Castagna and Chilwell. And Nick says, Matt Target, massively under the radar. 4.5 million, only 1.4% ownership. Starts every game, back sharing corners and free kicks if Hourihane is benched, which he may well be this weekend. Plus a high number of crosses. Woof. All right, so Matt Target's a great shout. Lee, who have you got as your must-have players at the back?
Yeah, I must admit, I have looked at the Villa defence at Target and at Cash, and they both look good. But I have Martinez in goal. I'm a little bit reluctant to double up. But on my wild card, I kept faith with Kyle Walker-Peters. I think he's shown enough attacking intent in the Southampton fixtures so far for me to stick with him. And his fixtures rotated nicely with Brighton. So I've got Lamptey in as well, who also has shown a definite penchant for getting forward into that box and has won a couple of penalties already. So those two get the nod for me, alongside I have Robertson and I actually have Kilman as well, interestingly, who I thought was going to be a 4.0 bench fodder, but I'm very interested to see, as Tom was saying before, you know, maybe his spots at threat when Marcel comes back in, maybe Saiz goes into that centre-half position and Marcel plays. But be harsh on Kilman. You know, he's played really, really well, and he's got, you know, double-digit hauls, I think, in his last two, and Wolves have kept two clean sheets. So it'd be hard on him if he was to get dropped. And at 4.0, even if he does, you can probably afford to keep him in your team. So, yeah, mostly fullbacks for me, but with Kilman there to complement.
Duncan, your must-haves at the back?
Well, on the creativity front, I've got Trent, James Justin, who started really well, but has tailed off as Leicester have a little bit, and Ben Chilwell, who again is capable of big returns, although he was playing a bit deeper, a bit more reserved for Chelsea in the Champions League. So, you know, we'll see. But yeah, just looking at the expected assists for defenders this season. So that's basically a metric, you know, where playing balls that kind of would have got a high chance of leading to, you know, to creating goals. The top three are Arthur Masuaku at West Ham, which is possibly a surprise name, but maybe another option. Then Luca Dean, sort of a, you know, a couple of seasons ago, a bit of an FPL favourite and, you know, possibly a good shout again. And then George Bulldog and then Andrew Robertson. So there's some possible options there. Yeah.
What about Cresswell at West Ham, who's 5 million, but only 2 points off Saïss as the top scoring defender so far in FPL?
Yeah, he's pretty high in that list as well, actually.
Interesting. One to keep in mind when those West Ham fixtures roll around. Tom, your must-haves at the back?
I've got Castan, Chilwell, Lamptey, Tyrek Mitchell and Drummond Saïss. So, yeah, I had Trent Alexander-Arnold at the start of the season and I had him throughout the whole of last season, but I just think the fact that Liverpool aren't going to keep, or don't look like they're going to keep that many clean sheets means it's hard to justify that sort of expenditure. And also, he's been eclipsed by Andy Robertson so far this season, if you're going to go for one of the two. But yeah, I've gone for slightly cheaper, ultra-attacking defenders, lots of adventurous wide players. And yeah, I think given the fact that so few teams are keeping clean sheets, I think that makes a lot of sense.
All right. Okay, well, after this, let's get on to the nitty-gritty, as they say, with the transfers you'll be making this week or have made this week and who gets the captain's armband. Transfers and captains, everybody. Duncan, you're keeping your wildcard back for a week or two, ideally. What have you or what are you going to do before Friday at 6:30?
So I've got a transfer and I think I'm probably going to ship out Aubameyang and bring in Son, which, yeah, hashtag a week too late, but you know, Arsenal had the third fewest shots in the Premier League this season. They've definitely been trying to keep it tight and that's kind of taken away some of their attacking edge. And I think everyone got very excited about, you know, the prospect of Aubameyang as a midfielder in FPL and, you know, racking up points, but it just hasn't worked out. So, yeah, I think that's the change I'm going to go for.
Aubameyang hasn't scored since the start of the season. He's only averaging 1.2 shots per game and he's got an XG, Duncan, of 0.07.
It makes me sad. I mean, to put that into context, in terms of shots, in all of his previous campaigns with Arsenal, he's had at least like 2.5 shots a game. So it really is a drop-off. So.
Oh, dear. All right, then. Good. Tom, what have you got?
I'm going to surf that wildcard feel-good wave for another week by not making any changes.
Right.
And then I might double up next weekend. The only thing that makes me anxious is the possibility of Raheem Sterling perhaps being rotated out. As I said before, I don't have Son Heung-min. Also like the look of Bruno Fernandes. But yes, I don't think I'll be making any transfers this week.
Right. Do you know, that's what I did last week because I thought this, I knew what I wanted to do. Of course, I wanted to bring in the Spurs pair, Son and Kane. But I thought this season's just been so crazy. I'll just let the madness play out a little bit and then come in after. But boy, did I get that wrong. I've already brought in Son. I want to bring in Kane. I'm pretty tempted by swapping because I've got two transfers and I might take a point, a minus four, to bring in Grealish for Zaha. But then I look at the fact that Palace are away at Fulham. Fulham, everybody. Maybe I should hang on to Wilfred for another week or two.
And Palace have got great fixtures and Zaha's on penalties.
Yeah, but all right. It's more fun doing transfers there.
I mean,
anyway,
it is always more fun.
what about you, Lee?
I'm going to join Tom on his wave of happiness through this week. The one I was slightly concerned about was with Richarlison out. I noticed in game week four against Brighton, James Rodriguez was pushing forward and taking more risks. But listen, if he's, as we found out at the beginning of the show, if he's going to be out now, and Carlo Ancelotti has said as much, obviously not going to be bringing him in. So I'm going to happily roll my transfer this week.
All right, OK. And what about who gets your captaincy, Lee?
So captaincy for me, I think, is going to be either Kane or Son. I think I'm probably going to go with Kane, just given the form that he's showing. But shout out to the Liverpool boys. I have Salah and I'm considering him. But actually, if I look at some of the areas in which Sheffield United are weak, they've conceded 26 chances and 65 crosses from their right flank, which actually makes, I think, Mane and Robertson down Liverpool's left much better pick. So if I had Mane in my team, and I think he's only 10% owned, so he's a reasonable differential still in FPL, I think he would get the captaincy for me if I was to choose. But I think I'm going to go with Kane.
All right. Well, of course, keep an eye on updates on social media and at PremierLeague.com on Manny's fitness and the availability of all the players, but Manny in particular, after he was wearing an ice pack away in Amsterdam midweek. Duncan, who wears your armband?
So the safe choice is Salah for much of the reasons Lee just outlined. My maverick choice, and you know, I'm nothing if not a maverick, is going for Emi Martinez in goal.
Because what?
Wow. He's never captained a goalkeeper, Duncan.
Well,
come on.
Have you ever captained a goalkeeper, Lee? Tom?
I don't think I've ever captained a goalkeeper.
I think I might have to. Maybe, I don't know, for like a game week where
embrace
you're really expecting a pair of clean... I mean, a pair of clean sheets and a few saves, save a penalty as well. You're looking at a decent haul.
Hear me out.
Go on, Villa, then, let's hear it.
Three clean sheets already, as we've found out. No team's got more. He's a very good player. Arsenal should have probably kept him, IMO. And more importantly, Leeds have a lot of shots, but they're not the most clinical team. So there's a pretty high chance of him making a lot of saves in this game, I would say. So, yeah, I've just talked myself into doing this.
Seriously, Duncan, are you genuinely doing it? Or are you just
I'm going to do it.
Trying to grab a little bit of notoriety? No?
Yeah. Watch as Leeds... cruise to a 4-1 win. And
you know, I mean, I hear what you're saying, because there's the potential of him picking up a point for every three saves he makes, and maybe a clean sheet against Leeds as well, although they're a team that likes to attack. But there's a glass ceiling on a goalkeeper's returns with the likes of Kane, Salah, etc. You can see them grabbing a brace or perhaps even more. Martinez,
I mean, he got 9 points last week, so there you go. There's 18. Or on the opening, his first game, he got 13. There's 26. So,
Never captain a goalkeeper.
Tom, your choice for captain.
The armband is currently strapped around Mo Salah's arm. My captaincy decisions this season have generally paid off. And I don't know why, but for whatever reason, my gut is working in 2020-21 in a way that it didn't in 2019-20. So I'm minded to just keep things as they are.
I do like this notion of just leaving it on Salah and letting the highs and lows come, and at the end of the season, you'll be doing pretty well.
Also, with Spurs playing on Monday, this always feels slightly unsatisfying having your captain play on Monday. Do you know what I mean? You're always
really?
Like...
No, it gives you
no. It's, I think it's the best. Au contraire, because it's like it means there's hope right until the end of the weekend. You might have scored 7 points by the time that game kicks off on Monday. But if your captain still hasn't played, you could be salvation.
It's the hope that kills you, though.
You two sound like the sort of people that like games in hand. Get it in the bank early doors and move on.
I have previously decided not to captain someone because their team is playing in the 12:30 Saturday kickoff. And I don't want my weekend to be ruined by them scoring no points, which scientifically makes no sense.
How did it work out for you, Tom? What did you miss out on?
I can't even remember. Right. Which suggests it went badly, and I've just blocked out the memory.
Yeah. Better strategy, though, Tom, than captaining a goalkeeper, in my opinion.
Yeah, on that we can agree.
You wait and see, Lee.
Very good. Whatever you do, listener, with your team, remember 6:30 p.m. Friday is the deadline. That's UK time, of course, 90 minutes before Aston Villa kick off against Leeds. Many thanks to Lee, Tom and Duncan for being with us today with all their sage advice. And best of luck to everybody. We'll be back next Thursday with more of the same. Do hope you'll join us then. For now, though, it's goodbye.